And good morning. Welcome in to the front porch here on this Monday, the 8th day of September. Brother David Tucker and Brother Joe Barner in with me this morning. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. It's good to see you. And here's a...
Listen to that.
The sound of joy.
Listen
Dr.
to that.
Dr. Pepper in the morning.
Nothing like it.
Absolutely.
You know, there's a lot of Dr. Pepper drinkers.
There are.
Really? I mean, my wife loves Dr. Pepper.
Well, that's the old song. I'm a pepper, you're a pepper, she's a pepper. Wouldn't you like to be a pepper too?
Oh, yeah.
It's the old jingle.
Yeah.
But today, actually, we're going to talk about a different kind of gathering. We're going to talk about the church.
Okay.
So this week, I'm assuming that you guys have gathered with the saints and celebrated the love and the grace and the salvation of our mm-hmm. Savior. And as we've done so, did we realize how much of a privilege it was? Did we understand how precious a gift it was? And did we add to the gift, or did we take away?
Mm.
That's going to be the question. A lot of folks who went to church yesterday said they had a good church service or they had a bad church service, and they are looking at everyone else as to why that happened.
Yeah.
And today, what we're going to talk about is why you created the atmosphere in which you walked in.
Ooh.
That's I'm not sure how you do music after that, but
What about five? And welcome back to the front porch here on this Monday morning. Of course, we are your community station, Missionary Radio.
So we are going to be talking about community, but we're going to be talking about the church community today. And the way that you enjoyed or didn't enjoy service yesterday had everything to do with community and not necessarily the performance of this particular individual or that particular preacher or what have you. Community is what makes the church. It's a gathering of believers. And actually, the term church comes from the term called out ones, and that's plural. So the idea is, the church is a gathering of individuals who have a like mind. In other words, we want to gather together for a singular purpose, and mm-hmm. that, of course, is the love of Christ. Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote a book, and I'm getting to kind of read it as a study with several other pastors that are in the community. And in the book, it has in this first chapter on community a couple of great quotes. One is, the Christian cannot simply take for granted the privilege of living among other Christians. Jesus Christ lived in the midst of his enemies. And then further on, he has this statement, it is by God's grace that a congregation is permitted to gather visibly around God's word and sacrament in this world. Not all Christians partake in this grace. So the mere fact that you were able to be in a church yesterday
mm-hmm.
and be able to slap folks on the back and shake people's hands, and you didn't, you know, cover your head or duck in through a side door,
mm-hmm.
the mere fact that you do so without any fear is actually grace of God in your life. And that grace of God is not experienced by all people. Not in this world, and not in the time of Dietrich Bonhoeffer. When he was writing this, this was a time in Nazi Germany when the churches were either with Hitler or not with Hitler, and if you were opposing what Hitler was doing, your church was being persecuted. They were being shut down. And so he and other like-minded believers were literally gathering in fear. And where they were gathering had to be either outside of the place where they grew up, they had to run away in order to escape that persecution, or they had to do so in secret. And so that's why his statement
is, and he ended up
being
a martyr for Christ because of his stand
exactly right.
for Christ.
That's right. And so in the midst of all of that, he's saying, this is such a grace that Christians don't realize they're receiving it until it's gone. You don't know what you had until it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of folks went to church yesterday. Yeah, they got through the Sunday, and it was another Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
No, it was a blessing that you got to have a Sunday at all.
Mm-hmm.
It's literally God's grace that's been placed upon you. I don't know that we have that understanding. When we see it from the historical perspective of Dietrich, we understand that intellectually, but we don't have the visceral emotive understanding of it. I think it was just a few days ago I heard on missionary radio that the Vietnam government had cracked down on unregistered churches. Mm-hmm. And one church had the power was cut off, and the police had surrounded the building, and all the people were arrested. Yeah. You know, they were just an unregistered church, mm-hmm. and that's not permissible under mm-hmm. that regime. And so that grace is not afforded that whole country.
Yeah.
So we could be in any other place mm-hmm. and not have what we have. And that's not because we're American. It's because God's granted us that grace right now. Mm-hmm. And understand that in America, that grace can be removed. The God that is holding you right now in his hand, he can remove that protection, and, yeah. and you can walk through what other believers are walking through.
Yeah.
Nobody desires that, mm-hmm. but we need to understand exactly how much of a privilege it is to enjoy that. And one of the things that I want to do first is to make sure that we encourage every individual. If you don't have a church home, you need to find one.
Yes.
You say, well, you know, I got go from church to church. I don't have one church. I just like to worship in many. Well, every church is a family.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have a family, then you're couch surfing. That's what yeah. they call it in my neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
When folks are homeless mm-hmm. and they're running from friend to friend, yeah. they call it couch surfing.
Yeah.
They're just staying wherever they can stay at the moment. You need to have a place you set down roots.
Yeah.
It's important for you as a believer. It's important for your family. If you're a mom or a dad, it's important for your marriage. It's important for your kids to have a consistency of faces who say, we love Christ and we love you.
Mm-hmm.
There is nothing like church.
Mm-hmm.
You can't duplicate it outside mm-hmm. of mm-hmm. the church. And so when God created the church, and we talk about Big C Church, you know, all the denominations, that kind of idea, mm-hmm. and then the local body, okay?
Yes.
When God created the church, Big C Church was made up of local bodies. Mm-hmm. And if you want to say, well, but I'm more of a kingdom person, meaning I don't want to be tied down to any one local congregation, well, that means you just don't want to plug in. That's what yeah. it really boils down to.
Yeah.
You're not pulling up and saying, hey, I'm going to make a difference, and this is the field in which I've been given, and I'm going to plant and I'm going to grow.
Mm-hmm.
When folks are in that mindset, normally there is two reasons behind it, and none of them are biblical. Mm-hmm. One is emotive, in other words, church hurt. I don't like what's happened to me in the past.
Sure.
Or personal preference. I can't find what it is I want.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking for just the right fit, kind of like somebody dating, looking for the sure. one in a billion that's your love mate for the rest of your life, you know, and you go through 100 different dates to get there. Well, personal preference and commitment issues are not the reason that you need to not be plugged in.
Mm-hmm.
I really encourage folks to get involved. And that's not just a pastor saying so.
Yeah.
That's literally scriptural. So, mm-hmm. Joe, we're going to jump in from Hebrews chapter 10. And in Hebrews 10, there is a wonderful statement, a passage, if you will, where the Apostle Paul, who I believe wrote Hebrews, tells the people to persevere in the faith. And how do they do that? Well, start in verse 23. And if you would, read all the way down through verse 25.
Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching.
So when Paul is writing to the to Hebrew to the folks who read this letter of Hebrews, the Jews that were listening to it, his statement is very simple, and that is that we have to intentionally grab hold of and maintain. It's a willful choice. His statement is, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. That statement is all on me. It is not, okay, you need to just let God hold you in this hope. Yes, God gives us that hope. We can rest in that hope. There's a lot of things we can say about that. But there's a point where you have to choose that hope, just like you choose salvation. You make a willful decision to say, I'm surrendering to God's leadership and guidance and his hope. And so when we connect to a local body of believers, when we grab hold of that, what we're doing is we're making a willful choice to take hold of the hope that God has. Now, you say, well, I don't see why that's connected to a local body, because the scripture connects it. Literally, directly after that, after he says, let us hold unswervingly, the next statement is, let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. That means if I'm holding on to that hope intentionally, then that means I'm going to be active with that hope communally. In other words, with those around me. Mm-hmm. As soon as I hold that, I'm supposed to pass it on to others, correct?
Mm-hmm. So, you want to get involved.
That's exactly right. And I want to be a blessing to the folks that are around me. So if I'm holding on to that hope then needs to pass through me into others. That means there has to be community. As a matter of fact, you can push it scripturally all the way back into the Old Testament. Adam was given a calling by God to walk in perfection with him and to be able to have basically domain over this entire world and to follow his call, which was to work the ground, okay? Adam was given all of those things, but the one thing that God said in the midst of all his creation that he said was good and very good, the one thing that he said that wasn't good was it wasn't good for Adam to be alone. He said there needs to be community. Now, we talk about this in the element of marriage, mm-hmm. but in truth, it's actually relationship. It's not good for man not to have community. Relationship. You need to be connected. It's really interesting because if you want to have an excellent conversation about the necessity of marriage, you can take Adam, it's not good for man to be alone, therefore he creates Eve, and then you take the Apostle Paul, it's better for a man not to marry. And you say, okay, so who's right? You know? The whole debate there is actually a farce, because the goal is community. Yeah. The idea is that we are relational beings and we're supposed to be in relationship with others. And so we see in Hebrews, hope, you have to choose it. With that hope, you have to use it. And then if you're going to do that, guess what? You're going to start meeting with believers on a regular basis. The very next verse, he says, and let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. He says, listen, we need to be meeting on a regular basis together as community, because the times are hard. The world in which we live is rough. And so if I have that hope and I'm wanting to use that hope, pass it on, then that means I have to regularly meet with others to be able to do so.
I like that word, unswervingly. Mm-hmm. Let us hold unswervingly in verse 23. And I think of, you know, if I'm driving and I'm get distracted.
Right.
I'm barely keeping it between the ditches.
That's right.
I'm wobbling from side to side, and I see some people driving like that.
Sure.
I'm not going to name any names or license numbers, but I see someone who is bouncing from church to church,
right,
as swerving.
Yes.
Going back and forth.
Absolutely.
And not committing mm-hmm. to any particular church, and you miss out
absolutely
on so much.
So even right now, my oldest son, he's in Utah. And having gone to Utah, he began to look for a home church. And one of the things that all three of my kids have had struggle with is that they can't find Second Baptist, the church they grew up in, mm-hmm. where they're at, which is not in Hopkinsville. And I tell them, you'll never find that church again, mm-hmm. but you will find a home, and you will need to plug in. And so one of the things that he has really wrestled with is that the place where he had plugged in, and he did, he just fully plugged into a church. He loved it, loved the people. And now, is everything perfect in that church? No.
Mm-mm.
But he said, but this is a place where I can fulfill my calling. The hope that he has, he can use it. Mm-hmm. And he wants to be consistent. But now he's moved again, and he's an hour away from where that church is, 35 to 40 minutes away. Yeah. And he's like, so God, are you calling me elsewhere? I need to know because I need to find a place. He's been there a year. He says, I don't want to move. I really don't want to move. But if God's calling me, I have to go.
Yeah.
So he's really wrestling with that. And the hardest piece for him right now is saying, all right, I'm going to let go of that church because that's where I was committed to. It's going to be hard to do that. And so when you're bouncing like that, you don't have those commitments. And it's not hard to leave that church behind and go to the next one. Mm-hmm. But when you commit and you're trying to hold unswervingly, it makes it a lot harder. Well, right now, I want to talk about some folks who hold unswervingly to the encouragement of this station.
The Lord says in Isaiah 55:11, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it.
God is active in the hearts and lives of our listening family. Thank you, family, for sharing your thoughts with us. Also, thank you for praying, for listening, and giving to 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio.
Here are today's comments from Missionary Radio's Penned from the Heart.
From Clarksville, thank you for your perseverance in sharing Jesus. God bless you all always and always. Bye. Radio is stuck on 89.3. From Hopkinsville, I love Front Porch and the teachers on Missionary Radio. From a Madisonville listener, the station has been a blessing to me since you started broadcasting. Also from Clarksville, thank you for your faithfulness to our Lord's message. Jesus is Lord and Savior.
Thank you for sharing what the Lord is doing through the ministry of 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio in your life.
We'd love to hear from you. Please call our testimony and penned from the heart line at 270-962-4055.
Write to us at P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241.
And online at missionary.radio.
Are into the front porch on this Monday.
Amen. We're talking about community actually today, and by community, we mean church.
Yeah.
We are discussing the fact that as an individual who is saved, you then have a hope that you choose. Choosing that hope means you use that hope to pass it on to others.
Yeah.
And by passing it on to others, it is a group with mm-hmm. whom you have made a commitment to be a part of a community.
Yes.
And it is a critical and amazing gift that we have and that we need to engage. And we were just talking off air, you know, there are Christians who say, you know what, I don't need the church.
Yeah.
I can do my Christian walk on my own.
Mm-hmm.
And I find my best studies, you know, by myself.
Lone mm-hmm. Ranger Christians.
That's right. That's
even
right.
Even the Lone Ranger had Tonto.
That's it.
That's right.
That's exactly
right.
That's right. But in truth, salvation is always individual, like we talked about off air. But worship is always biblically communal.
Mm-hmm.
It is never individual. So yeah. You say, well, hold on, Brother David, that's not necessarily true. Scripture says that they could have, you know, worship as individuals. Okay, so show me the passage. In heaven, which is ultimate worship, it's communal.
Communal, yeah.
It's not individual. Jesus, who if anyone could individually worship, when he was truly looking to engage with God, and in his deepest moments, Mount Transfiguration, Garden of Gethsemane, he takes two disciples to mm-hmm. go with him, and mm-hmm. he says, pray with me.
Mm-hmm.
Community. Mm-hmm. You say, well, they didn't have a building that they met at. No, no. He kept the same small group his entire life.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And so he walked with them everywhere they went. So they had a tabernacle church, if you will. Okay? If you want to take it and put it into modern terms, folks who have what we call parachurch organizations are supposed to be alongside of the church, not replace the church. Yeah. And that's critical. A lot of times people think, well, I'm doing this thing or that thing, or I'm involved in this movement or what have you, and that for me is church. Not really. There's only one church. God established the church, the called out ones. And the parachurch organization comes alongside of that church. So this station, which is parachurch, mm-hmm. is not the church, but it walks alongside of the church to strengthen it and enhance its mm-hmm. outreach. And so you guys do a marvelous job of announcing about what churches are doing. I think I heard the other day, Brian, you were advertising a grief support
yes.
group
yes.
over grief Hillcrest.
Here. Yes.
And, you know, Hillcrest is a local church.
Yes.
And so you guys are there, and you are blessing and encouraging folks, hey, be a part of a local church. No parachurch organization that calls you away from the church mm-hmm. on a regular basis and tells you not to plant and to grow in a church mm-hmm. is honestly really of God. God established the church, and the parachurch is supposed to be based off of that. Now we can talk about big church versus small church, right?
Okay.
Well, my church is just too small, right? Or, you know, I like the big church. Well, a lot of folks like the big church because it's anonymous. I can go to worship, I can walk out, and I don't have to be plugged into anything. I don't have to be involved in much. I can be anonymous. That's the term that's often used when mm-hmm. it comes to mega churches and things like that.
Yeah.
There's no pressure in that church. Mm-hmm. People aren't coming up to you and talking to you and engage, you know, because it's more anonymous. Well, then you're going and looking for not a church. You're not looking to engage in a community. What you're doing is looking for entertainment at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And I can assure you, every mega church that I've ever seen will break the church down into small groups.
Mm-hmm.
It's life groups, it's worship groups, it's Sunday schools, it's various other things. But it will break a church no matter what size it is, whether it's 100 or 1,000. Mm-hmm. They will break it into smaller groups. And so within our church, if somebody misses a Sunday, so let's say Joe is in his Sunday school class, he's got somebody who's missed Sunday school for 2 weeks in a row,
mm-hmm.
okay? In worship service, I will not notice. Maybe I do, but odds are no.
Yeah.
Because all the Sunday school classes come to worship. So he will notice first, and then mm-hmm. after him, somebody's supposed to say something to a deacon. We have deacon family groups,
mm-hmm.
and our deacon family groups are made up of, I don't know, about 20-some-odd families per deacon. Well, that's a lot of people.
A lot of people.
And so keeping up with all those people, you may not see them, mm-hmm. okay? And then after that comes the staff, and the staff's supposed to know somebody's missing for 2 weeks after they've not been in the church, and you've got a couple hundred, 300, 400 people. No, they may not.
Mm-hmm.
So no matter what size church you are, whether it's 1,000 or 100, you break it down into smaller groups so there's accountability. When somebody misses 2 weeks, somebody needs to call. Mm-hmm. Somebody needs to say, hey, you know what? I missed you. Yeah. Hey, what's going on? Are you okay? And so if somebody's missing from Joe's class, I know that he and Rachel, they're going to follow up.
Mm-hmm.
Long before I ever know anything about it, they've already addressed the need. Why? Because his class is a community. And if you don't believe it, man, you just need to go. Because
mm-hmm.
it's a sweet fellowship inside that classroom. Mm-hmm. They do life together. They talk together. They study scripture together. And yes, they're all members of Second Baptist Church, which is a larger organization than what that class is. But that class is church.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be honest with you. I know that we as the church, Second Baptist, are a conglomeration of little churches that have come together to worship corporately. And so when we're talking about the idea of parachurch. Can it replace the church? No. And you say, well, mine's a little church, so it's not the same. Yeah, it is. Because even if somebody's going to a mega church, they're not really engaged until they've gotten involved in that small group church.
Mm-hmm.
And so here's how I'd like to kind of finish up our segment here. I want you to stop and think about where you stand in your church life. There's three places, and I always think of the membership in our church as a river, okay? A river has a current, and usually in the middle of the river, the current is the strongest, okay? The pull is the strongest because it's usually deepest in the center.
Mm-hmm.
So are you in the center of that current being pulled downstream with the call of God? Or are you in the river, you're in the church, but you're not in the current, you're just knee deep on the banks and you're allowing the current to flow by? I mean, you're a piece of it, but you're not in it.
Mm-hmm.
And you're wondering whether or not it's safe to get out in the middle of that thing mm-hmm. and really get going. And then there's last, and that is you're on the bank. You're not even in the river. There's no church that can say, yeah, they're attending here. They're regular here.
Mm-hmm.
No, you're following parachurch stuff, and you're going through, you know, stuff where you can stay anonymous. Maybe you're watching online, mm-hmm. you know. And I heard somebody talk on YouTube as ninja watching, where you're watching, but you're not commenting, so nobody knows you're there, mm-hmm. you know, except mm-hmm. the algorithms. That's not connection.
Mm-mm.
That's not community.
Mm-mm.
And so if you're on the banks, then you're not being pulled by the call of God. The river is a powerful instrument, mm-hmm. just as God's call is. And so when we get into the center of God's call, we get swept away. It's a part of the way the Christian life works. So where as a believer today are you? In the center, on the banks, or just all the way up on the hill, watching the river go by? I would make a decision today to get in the midst of where God is moving and allow him to sweep you up with his people in that call. Now, when we get back and we start our last segment, I want to make sure that if you've been listening to this, you stay with us, and this is why. Because we're going to talk about the thing that you must do when you get into the center of that current. Because you don't just jump in and then ride the current down and there's no work. Remember, we hold unswervingly to the hope. We make the decision to engage. So we're going to talk about what I have to do to make my church a better church when we get back. But first, let's hear from Johnny Erickson Tada.
This is Shauna on Johnny Erickson Tada Sharing Hope.
I will tell you the truth. Honestly, I'm nothing but a weakling. In case you think you didn't hear me right, I'll say it again. I am a weakling, nothing but a weakling. I know that sounds belittling, but I embrace it. And I say it because it's so true. Without Jesus Christ, I am powerless, I'm a coward, and pretty much useless. I am weak in every way without my Savior. Now, there is something that rubs us wrong when we hear that. I mean, it goes against our natural grain, because nobody likes to be weak. We don't like to think of ourselves as weaklings, and we sure don't want others to see us that way. And so, we act as if we can do things that we know full well we can't. And we come across as if we know things that we really don't. We resist confessing when we are wrong and that the other person is right. We don't want to be perceived as stupid, and so we don't ask questions we need to ask. We do not ask for instructions. Instead, we act as if we can handle things that we can't, and we don't seek help when it's offered. We project to others that we will overcome things we know full well we can't. And just why are we like this? Well, it's all because we have this itchiness to appear as though we've got it all together, that we're strong, that we're in control, that we do not need help, that we don't require someone to give us a hand. Well, my friend Paul David Tripp calls this, quote, a failed quest for the self-congratulatory glory of independence. But we're not independent, and we're not created to be so. We are made to be dependent on the one who formed us. And right there is why we've got so much trouble. We rebel against the fact that we were made to be dependent on God. And it's why I call myself a weakling, because I am all too aware that I must be dependent. I have to be. I cannot handle things by myself. I need to ask for help. I need God. I'd fall apart without Him. And so I thank Him for my built-in weakness. That is my disability, my quadriplegia, my wheelchair. Thankfully, I cannot be independent in my quadriplegia. And so I need God and others in order to live. It's as 2 Corinthians 13, verse 4 says, Paul writes, quote, "For Jesus was crucified in weakness, yet he lives by God's power. Likewise, we also are weak in him, but we will live by God's power." I mean, this verse tells us believers to rely on God's strength rather than our own, especially in difficult circumstances. Because just as Jesus embraced his weakness and went to the cross, we likewise embrace our weakness and send our pride to the cross. And when that happens, when we crucify our smug, self-righteous independence, we are raised with Christ and are happily able to live by his power. And so, come on, admit you're a weakling. Start living by God's power. And as we close today, Shauna, would you read that Bible verse again?
I'd love to, Johnny. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 4 says, "For Jesus was crucified in weakness, yet he lives by God's power. Likewise, we also are weak in him, but we will live by God's power."
Oh, now that is living like Christ lived. Friend, I hope this message is encouraging to your heart today. The Word of God is so encouraging and so instructive. And I hope you'll admit it right alongside me. We are weaklings.
And visit JohnnyRadio.org today to see Johnny's exciting 2026 planner. All the details about her new planner are right there for you on JohnnyRadio.org.
Hello and welcome. I'm Ken Cummins, and here's today's Word in 60 Seconds. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:24, "Let no one seek his own good, but that of his neighbor." In his book, Mere Christianity, C.S. Lewis wrote, "Do not waste your time bothering whether you love your neighbor. Act as if you did. As soon as we do this, we find one of the great secrets. When you are behaving as if you love someone, you will presently come to love him. If you injure someone you dislike, you will find yourself disliking him more. If you do him a good turn, and you will find yourself disliking him less." I believe God is encouraging us to take giant new risky steps in loving one another. Christian, you and I are known by our love.
I'm Ken Cummins, and that's today's Word in 60 Seconds. And remember, the world needs King Jesus.
I can be having a bad day or off day and turn the radio station on and seems like it just makes my whole day better.
100% listener-funded missionary radio.
Missionary.
Missionary radio.
Of course, this is the Front Porch.
So we've been talking about the concept of community and worship and gathering together as a church. And a lot of folks are kind of drifting. They're swerving between church and church and church. And they don't have a place that they have roots in. And one of the reasons is because they've just chosen to be non-committed in that process.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes it's because there's church hurt and some other things, and that's what we're going to talk about. There is a reason that folks don't plug into the church, and there is a reason that worship goes cold within a church, and it is seldom the reason of, well, the singer wasn't quite right or the pastor wasn't quite good enough. I'm going to say the majority of the time, and let's not take the responsibility off pastors and singers and other things like that, but the majority of the time that worship doesn't flow within a church, it has to do with the worshipers and their heart. So, there's a really cool passage about worship in and of itself. Over in Matthew in chapter 18, Jesus has an entire passage talking about disunity among believers, the disharmony of believers. And so, Joe, when you have arrived,
I'm arrived.
So fast with your Bible. I'll tell you what. would you read verse 15 and read it all the way down through verse 20.
If your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you have won them over. But if they will not listen, take one or two others along so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church. And if they refuse to listen even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three gather in my name, there am I with them.
So the verse that is most often quoted out of all this
the
passage,
last one.
It's the last one. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am with them, or I am in their midst. Now, how often do we quote that, and what do we usually make it in reference to, Joe?
Well, just it's assuming that if we gather in the name of Jesus that he is there.
Right.
But it does not go back and talk about the work that we do to get in unity with one another.
That's exactly right. So when the song leader gets up in the church and says, oh, church, so good to be here. You know, the scripture says where two or three are gathered, he is in our midst. We know that God is in this room. Do we? Just because you have that number there in the room does not mean that God has gathered in your midst. What's the key in the passage that indicates that God is in the midst? Well, it's
working through those offenses against one another.
That's
coming
exactly
to agreement.
Right. It's the unity.
Forgiveness.
It's the unity of the brethren and the unity of the community. Mm-hmm. That is where there is this gathering of the Spirit. You can have the best soundboard in music, okay? But if you don't have folks who are singing in harmony, the soundboard can't help you.
Mm-mm.
If you have the best church in the town, but the building may be beautiful, but the people are not happy with one another, it is an awful place to worship. The reason that most people don't plug into church is because our emotions are involved. And we know that if we plug in too much, well, somebody's going to take us off. that's usually what it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's a failure to want to have to deal with that on a Sunday.
Yep.
I don't want to have to work through stuff on a Sunday. I don't have to go to somebody and ask for forgiveness. I don't want to go to somebody and talk to them about the need for me to forgive them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to work through the issues of unity of the faith. I just want to go to church, do my hour, and then come home. You know, it's kind of like a drive-through. I don't want to stand in a line and go through the time it's going to take to actually get a meal if I sat down for a meal. I'd rather just go through a drive-through and get it done and move on. In fact, there are a lot of folks who like to go to church super early, right?
Oh, yeah.
And why do you? Well, because I got other things to do with my day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, church is just a point on the map. It's not a destination. And so if that's how you're addressing church, then you've never been in community. Mm-hmm. And the worship that you're dissatisfied with is not them. It's you. You ever heard that old breakup phrase, it's not you, it's me?
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what? When you're leaving that church, it ain't them.
Mm-hmm.
It's you.
Mm-hmm.
You've made a decision to say, I don't want to be connected, and I don't want to walk through the stuff that needs to happen for me to stay connected. I don't want to put in the time and commitment to make it happen.
Yeah.
And so we swerve. We bounce. We go from point to point and place to place. And we keep seeking for something that really is just going to be either an emotional high or an entertainment fix.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not looking for real community.
Yeah.
We're not looking to make that real connection. And so if you're going into church on a Sunday and the scripture says you got an issue with another brother, you need to handle that issue with your brother. You need to have forgiveness within your heart, which, by the way, precedes this whole passage. I love this passage because his statement is, if a brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault just between the two of you. Let's get this thing fixed. Let's handle this. And then immediately following this passage, Peter comes up and says, yeah, but how many times, God? What if they're a chronic issue, you know? And I'm going to not ask you guys to name names, but have you ever seen in church personalities that are chronic issues?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Okay, good. I was afraid you were going to leave me hanging on this one.
We're not going to name names.
No. Absolutely not. Church is a place where sinners come. Mm-hmm. If church was only for the perfect people, then they wouldn't have allowed you in there, right?
That's true. Yeah. Very true.
They wouldn't allow me in there.
Uh-uh.
I'm a chronic sinner.
Yeah.
And so I make mistakes. As a pastor, one of the things that I say often to our people is, listen, I'm probably at some point going to offend you with something that I say. And so, and Joe knows this, I tell folks all the time, I have an open door policy. You get to come in and give me the first 5 minutes of you just telling me what's wrong, and I'm going to bite my tongue and sit on my hands. I ain't going to defend myself. I'm just going to listen. And I know that's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And the reason I make that policy is because I know that the only way to keep community is to have the freedom to you to be able to walk in, even to the pastor, and say, listen, you've upset me. This bothered me. Mm-hmm. And I've had somebody from our church come in and say, we're going to have a conversation. I don't think you're going to like it. I'm like, so let's get on with it then.
Let's do it.
Yeah, if I got to eat vegetables, let me get on and get it done.
Uh-huh.
You know? So that's the thing, is that so many times people walk out of church and they walk away from church and they go from church to church to church because they just don't want to do the work of community. But that's what church is. It's not a pastor. It's not your worship team. It's not a building. Church is community. And if you're in a community and you've done it right, you have that hope, you're passing on that hope, and you're encouraging one another in that hope, so you don't give up meeting together. You'll go on a Sunday because you want to. Mm-hmm. You'll go on a Sunday because you desire to. Mm-hmm. I told you at the beginning of the hour, my kids have struggled mightily as it came time for them to change memberships. Now, in Baptist churches, we actually change memberships. Mm-hmm. We say we kind of sign on a dotted line. You were a card-carrying Second Baptist member. Now you're going to be a card-carrying, you know, First Baptist member, whatever. It's hard for them because for them, church, it's not just a place on a Sunday. It's been family. I mean, that's our entire family. So when I say community, I mean it. I don't have another community outside the church. There is just the church. Now, my church serves the community in which I live, but my community is the church, and that's how my kids feel too. When you're connected and you're plugged in and you're rooted, man, it is a sweet place. Every Sunday is another opportunity to have a family gathering. But if you aren't and you're bouncing from place to place, it's a struggle. So let me encourage you. Don't stand on the bank and look at the river. Don't wade in the shallows of the river. Dive into the center and let the current of God pull you with the church where he wants to lead it.
Thanks for listening to The Front Porch, and join us again tomorrow morning at 7 a.m.